So we've walked through Holy Week. We've walked through, we had Palm Sunday. We had what led to the crucifixion of our Savior Jesus. We had the resurrection, which is everything that our faith and the power of our faith is based on. The Holy Spirit has been poured out upon us and within us. He lives in us. We're going to look more into this as Pentecost approaches. But the question kind of becomes, now what? You know, we've had this amazing week. We've had the crucifixion, resurrection, the Holy Spirit. But now what? What times are we living in? What season is this that we're living in? What does it look like? What does it mean for us? How do we navigate life in these times or any times? Because times are always changing. Seasons are always changing. And it's God who brings about the times and the seasons. It tells us in His Word that He places kings and He removes kings, that He appoints the times and the seasons in their place. What should we be doing? Because there's many opinions. There's many options. There's many opportunities. There's many things that we could be doing or thinking about. And the fact is that Jesus is coming back. We get excited about that, and we should. It's amazing. We can't wait. But what do we do until He does? What does that look like until He does return? What is it that's most important for us to know or to be involved in? How, through our obedience, do we do things that honor Him? How do we know what honors Him? How do we know what dishonors Him? So this message is called Know the Time. Know the Time. And we're going to be in Romans 13. This morning, Romans chapter 13. If you have your Bibles or your phones, you can turn there. Because Jesus, He didn't die and rise from the dead, and the Holy Spirit isn't poured out and didn't come just so that we sit around and wait until one day we die and go to heaven. That will happen. One day we will die, and as followers of Christ, we will go to heaven. It's amazing. It's glory. It's the culmination of everything that we're hoping and waiting for, but that's not all of it. That's one day in the future. We don't know the day or the time or the hour for each of us, but it will come. But when? And what do we do until then? We're to be building the church. We're to be advancing His kingdom. We're to be imitating Christ. And Paul says to imitate Him as He imitates Christ. Do we look around the world, social media, our neighborhoods? Do we look around these places and see the church and recognize Christ in it? Do we see a church and think, wow, look at the love of God on display? Is that the times we're in? Is that what we're seeing around us and in the world around us? It's a question we should consider and that we need to answer. So Romans 13, we're going to start reading in verse 8. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you as always for your word because it is true. It is our final authority. It is the authority in our life. And so we declare that it's truth. We declare that it is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. We will allow it to shape us and change us and mold us. We will live according to it. We invite you, Holy Spirit, into this place and into the place and rooms of everyone watching live in the recordings. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to minister to each one, to speak to every heart, to teach every mind, to make us like you, to fill us with your presence. We ask, Holy Spirit, that your words come through this morning. Your message is given. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you do among us what it is that only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before the text that we read today, we have what would probably be, at the moment, one of the most unpopular portions of Scripture for our day and time. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. It continues. I would encourage you to read that, but you can do that at your leisure. We won't go there this morning. The portion that we're focusing on this morning is this, verse 10, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, because of that, therefore means what was just said, so love does no harm to a neighbor, because of that, love is the fulfillment of the law. Verse 11, and do this. Do what? Love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. I hear a lot, and we see a lot about wake up, about woke, being woke, and wake up, and getting up, and being awake. What do we do in these times? Love. What do we do amidst all the chaos? Love. Love God with all, everything that you are, everything you have, everything that you ever will be, and then love your neighbor as yourself, because love does no harm to another. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. If you're in love, if you're walking in love with God and with your neighbor, you are fulfilling all of the law. Not that we have to fulfill the law to be with God. We're his through Christ Jesus. But Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law. He just came to fulfill it because he is love. And we're to become like him. I think these are times that the world needs to recognize and see the church in love. How did Jesus pray that his church, his people, would be known? By their love for one another. By their love. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. I think that's the message that the Lord has for his people and his church in these times. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Fear needs to go. Fear has no place in the life of a believer. But hear me out. What does fear look like? Some fear disease, and it rules their life. Some fear government and authority and the Antichrist, and it rules their life. Both are the result of fear. Both are fear-driven, and both are not from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That's what God has given us. Power, love, the fulfillment of the law, and a sound mind, not fear. It doesn't matter where our fear is placed, it's still fear. When we're angry and we're lashing out and we're fighting flesh and blood, it's out of fear. When we're hiding and we're cowering and we're trusting in all of these other things outside of God, it's fear. Fear needs to go. Now it is high time to awake out of sleep. The church has been asleep. Us as Christians have been asleep. We've been happy and content with our services on Sunday morning. and our lives however we live throughout the week. We're happy and content to read the scriptures once in a while, to feel better, to feel like we're in line with something. We've been asleep, and it is time to wake up. We see this several times in scripture. We've been alive physically all along. We need to realize that. We've been physically alive since we're born. Since we were created in our mother's womb, we've been physically alive. This is not a physical rising up. It's not a physical waking up. We wake up every day, and we go about our lives and our business. We do not fight or war or wrestle with flesh and blood. That is not our mandate. That is not what we do. That is not where we win. That is not how we advance the kingdom. Don't get that twisted up. This is a spiritual awakening. Spiritual. That's why Jesus came, because we were physically alive and spiritually dead. That's why he went to the cross, because sin separated us from God. In the beginning, in the garden, if you eat from the tree, you will surely die. Well, they didn't fall over dead after they ate the apple, but they died spiritually, separated from God, their Father, spiritually. It's why Jesus rose from the grave. It's why the Holy Spirit came to dwell within us, to make us alive, to bring us from death to life. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. All of the others that came, the priests in the Old Testament and the others, couldn't help the man. They crossed to the other side. But Jesus came. The Good Samaritan came. And he poured in the oil, the Holy Spirit. He poured in the wine, the blood. He poured in all of these things to bring him alive. That's what Jesus did for us. He made us alive spiritually to wake us up, to make us spiritually alive. The Israelites, God's people, God had shown up over and over again. Think of the miracles they experienced. Crazy. Their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never wore out. Manna, bread that just falls out of the sky. Enough for every day. The Red Sea parting, and they walk through on dry land, and it devours its enemies. All of these things that they experienced from the hand of God. Crazy, miraculous ways. But they never seemed to be happy. They always felt oppressed. They always wanted something more or better or bigger. They would rather go back to being slaves than the blessings God was giving them. Isaiah 51, God is once again bringing hope back to his people, reminding them of all that he's done, reminding them how he is in control. We need to remember, he is in control. He chooses to use us, his people. We absolutely have responsibility and a part to play, but he is in control. If God says it, it's done. If God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. He's not a man that he should lie. There's no twisting or shadow of turning in him. Verses 15 through 17 of Isaiah 51 read, "But I am the Lord your God, who divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have put my words in your mouth, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people." In verse 17, "Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem." Isaiah 52, verse 1, the very next chapter, "Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion." Then we have Isaiah 53, one that we use at Christmas, a lot that we like at Easter, our Savior, Jesus, on a cross, pierced for our transgressions, wounded for our healing, our Savior, the Messiah, Jesus, bringing us salvation. Isaiah 60, verse 1, "Arise, shine. Your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And our text today, knowing the time. Now it is high time to awake out of sleep. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Wake up, church. Not to war physically, not to disobedience, not to fear and hate and slander, to love. Wake up to love. The power of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, whose temple you are. When we do something, we represent the kingdom of God. Like it or not, know it or not. When we speak as a Christian, the Holy Spirit is represented in that. When we go to a place, the Holy Spirit is there with us. Whose temple you are. The words we say represent the kingdom of God. The actions we take represent the kingdom of God. I talked with a mentor recently, someone I look up to in all ways, spiritually, professionally, pastorally. We talked a bit about the times that we're in and the things that are going on. We talked about the church's response to what's happening, Christians' response to what's happening. I asked for his opinion of what would you do if you were in this scenario, if you were still pastoring. And this is what he had to say. He says, we're so busy trying to fight the Antichrist. We're so busy fighting the spirit of the Antichrist that's in the world. But the church's job isn't to be so preoccupied with the Antichrist. The job of the church is to find what Jesus is doing and do it. We are to be loving God with all we are. Have and ever will be. We are to be loving our neighbor as ourselves. We're to be spreading the gospel, the good news. We're to be leading others to salvation, building the church, advancing the kingdom, representing the kingdom of God in all that we do, being the hands and the feet and the voice of Christ on this earth. We're ambassadors of the kingdom. We represent him and his kingdom in all we do, in all we say, in all we choose to participate in. I've read the end of the book. You can as well. We, you, they, no one is going to stop it from happening. What God says is going to happen. We can stand on our head, we can shout and scream, we can run around, we can burn things down, but what he says is going to happen is going to happen in his appointed time and season. When God prophesies something to be, it will be. The Antichrist spirit is already here, has been for some time. Paul and Peter talk of that. The Antichrist is coming at the appointed time. He's not here yet that we're aware of. He is coming, and we're not going to stop it. We are not called to stop it from happening. Don't hear what I'm not saying. There is a time and there is a place to make a stand and for justice and to do what God's called us to do, regardless of consequences. Absolutely. But we are primarily called to get as many into God's kingdom as possible. I asked this mentor, What do you do with all the conversations of anti-government and anti-everything? And his response was, someone who wants to be anti-everything, when they bring 10 people into the kingdom, then let's talk about anti-everything. Build the kingdom. That matters most. If we believe that Jesus is coming, if we believe the gospel and its message, if we believe the message of salvation, that apart from Christ we're separated from God, that the only way to the Father is through the Son, Jesus, if we believe the cross and the resurrection, then we also believe that many are on a path to eternity in hell. If we believe that Jesus is coming again at an appointed time and season, and he is coming again, there will be a time where it is too late. Too late for the family member. Too late for the friend. Too late for the neighbor. Too late for the world around us. So we have decisions to make. What do we focus on? What do we spend our time on? What do we spend our energy on? What is the season? What is the time? What are we really called to do? Because that time will come. Jesus is coming again. And as we've talked about many times, he will not be on a donkey. He will be on a horse ready for war. There is only two options. There is heaven and there is hell. The only way to the Father is through the Son. Until Jesus comes again, until that time, the mission of the church, directly from our Savior, is go. Go into all the world. Make disciples. There is a time to stand. There is God's word, which is above all else, that we follow regardless of consequence or season or anything, regardless of fire. Until that time, we have Romans 13. Love is the fulfillment of all of the law. Verses 11 through 14 of our text today in the Message version put it this way. Make sure you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute. Must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around and dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. Stop being so scared and afraid of disease. God is in control. He is our healer. Use wisdom. Don't hear what I'm not saying. And stop being so scared and afraid of the government and authority and the Antichrist. God is in control. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against spiritual darkness. There is a battle, there is a war, there is a fight. If we did as much praying as we did complaining, if we did as much praying as we did posting, if we did as much praying as we did screaming and yelling, it might be a big difference. What God has prophesied to be will be. We're not going to change it. We're not called to change it. We're called to preach the gospel. We're called to advance the kingdom. We're called to build the church. We're called to fill heaven. We're called to save the lost through the name of Jesus. We're called to do what Jesus did. Even greater things. The Holy Spirit is in us. And the first thing Jesus tells us is that we'll be clothed with power because we need power to do what we're called to do. And the first thing we're called to do is be witnesses. Judea, Samaria, to all the ends of the earth, Jerusalem, everywhere. We have power to be witnesses. And as we're witnesses and as we spread the gospel, the Holy Spirit in us and through us will work miracles and signs and wonders. There will be healing and deliverance and people set free and marriages restored and lives changed, minds renewed, joy infused. Change take place as we're witnesses filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The world needs hope. And the hope of glory is Christ in you. The world needs hope. It needs to see a church that has an answer. Not a church that's so afraid of everything. Not a church that's so angry and mad that we act sometimes worse than the world. Not a church that doesn't look any different than they do. They need a church that's separate and different and devoted to Christ. They need a church filled with love. A church filled with faith, not fear. A church who has the answer of hope. The good news. The gospel, salvation. That there isn't just despair. That there isn't hopelessness. That there is hope and there is an answer and there is joy. There is healing. There is deliverance. His name is Jesus. Love, serve, become. Wake up, O sleeper. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us a mission. We thank you that we have purpose. We thank you that we have something to do until Jesus returns. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Jesus, that you went to that cross, that you died on that cross, that you rose from that grave, so that we can rise to new life and become new creations and have life. And life abundantly, Jesus, that you said you came to bring us. That we could be filled with the Holy Spirit, God inside of us, whose temple we are, clothed with power. Jesus, we know you're coming again. And we celebrate and we can't wait. But until then, show us the mission field. Show us the open doors of ministry. Show us who to love and how to love. Show us how to spread the gospel and the good news and the message. Show us how to rid our life of fear and have only what you brought us, power, love, and a sound mind. Help us to be a witness to the world around us that there is hope, that there is salvation, that there is an answer, that there is healing and deliverance. That there is safety and security. Help us to be your hands and your feet and your voice, Lord Jesus. Help us to be separate from the world, not like them. Help us to be known by our love. Help us to not fear what's coming in the end, because what you've prophesied to be will be. Help us to see our mission isn't to stop from happening what you said will happen, but that our mission is to fill heaven, is to lead others to salvation and build your church and advance your kingdom. Help us to be a people on mission, ambassadors of your kingdom. Help us to not miss this. Help us to not miss revival and the spiritual awakening that you're bringing, Lord. Help us to be so in line and in tune with your presence, Holy Spirit, that we miss nothing. That we would not waste this opportunity to preach hope and love and deliverance and salvation to a world in despair and chaos. To show them a way where there seems to be no way. To show them love when all they see is hate and anger. To show them joy when all they see is sadness and despair. To show them salvation when all they see is lost. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to lift high your name, to bring you glory, and to do the things you did and even greater things. In Jesus' name, amen.